Rightio, so the title of the sermon that I've done tonight is Opportunities and Openings. Alright, how good are you at seeing the opportunity? How good are you when you have an opportunity, the opening's right there, and you share? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just doesn't happen as it should. I'm a slow learner, I'll put my hand up. a week or two ago, I was here with Colleen and Gail, they were here too, and a guy dropped in. And I know the guy, he's a bit of a drug dealer, and he needed a hand. So I thought, yeah, well, let's see what I can do. He needed some money to go to a chemist to get a prescription for some methadone. And so that cost a fair bit, but I thought that's okay. I felt led of the Lord, that's a good way to put it, have compassion to help him out. So he tells us the chemist we've got to go to. So we go to the chemist, and we get there, and the person says, no, you come to the wrong chemist. Oh, no, all right. So then we go to the next chemist, and he got that wrong as well. Now, around this time, it dawned on me, there are no coincidences in life. Like, this is where the slow learner bit comes in. Oh, I see, I'm having time to talk to this guy. So I thought, and then I switched, my brain switched in. Instead of just doing a compassionate thing, I thought, hang on, all right. So then I thought, I don't know, how am I going to start the conversation? And I thought, I know what, I just share about how my life's been at the moment. You know, I started talking about my dad passing and my Uncle Errol passing. It's been a challenging time for me personally. Well, then he started crying. He's had two partners in his life. One partner died a little while ago, and his second partner committed suicide about a week beforehand, before we spoke. And he just started crying. And man alive, then suddenly there was this opening. We started talking about life. We started talking about Jesus. But I nearly missed the whole thing. Like, I don't know about you. Opportunities and openings. And it was just so lovely. He hasn't become a Christian yet, but he's really interested and wants to learn more about the Lord Jesus. What's that? Yeah, we did find the right chemist. So on the way to the third chemist is when all this conversation is occurring. Yeah. So I just say this to let you know too that it's not always easy to see the opportunities, and then also once you see an opportunity to go to hit that opening and to share what you need to share with the person. Yeah. So that's how it is. And tonight I've picked this passage from Acts chapter 8 because I want to see how we have opportunities and openings in this passage, which is about the man called Philip and a man from Ethiopia, an Ethiopian eunuch. So we're just going to make a few comments about this this great passage. All right, so Acts chapter 8. Let's start off. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to look into it. Our Father, thank you for your great word. Thank you for how your word is just such a great joy and a blessing to us. Even as we look at this passage now, we thank you for the amazing things that we can learn and about opportunities and openings. And I just ask that you would minister to us through this passage. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's begin by reading verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And in brackets, this is a desert road. I'm sure it is a desert road. I've been to Israel when you could travel. Couldn't believe. Yeah, we used to be able to travel. That's right. In 2019. And that's sort of like in the Negev area, which is our desert area. So what I find amazing is Philip. He's a Christian. And he gets told to go down to the desert road. It's pretty spectacular. An angel tells him to do this. And he obeys, he goes, as we're going to read. And it's interesting that there's nothing mentioned there about, like, what part of the road are you meant to go on? Like, is it closer to Gaza or Jerusalem? What's the mileage peg that you're going to get to? None of that's mentioned. All he's told is go down onto that road. So off he goes. And we read in verse 27, "So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Wow! What do you reckon of that? So he happens to be on the road at the right time and the right place, and there's this dude, this pretty important guy, in a chariot, man, he's like high up, and he is there in a chariot heading back to Ethiopia. He's a worshipper of God, probably a converted Jew or a Jew living in Ethiopia, we don't know, but there he is. And he's also reading from Isaiah. All right. So the first thing that I pick up on this is, and this is how it is with life, the Holy Spirit is the one who sets things up. Do we have the eyes to see it? Are we in tune? Well, Philip seemed to be in tune with an angel, but it might not be an angel. It might just be a prompting or something like that. And he obeyed. He was there. And there's no coincidences in life. God arranges stuff. And he happens to be on the road. And who happens to be there? This man. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. That's extraordinary. And I love how when I think of in my life, I love how God's Spirit is preparing our hearts every day. If only we are switched on. If only we have eyes to see for us to have opportunities to share Jesus with other people. It's all about how do we get to these opportunities? Here's the little phrase I want you to remember. You've got to be led by the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? That's how you get to be in the right place at the right time, get to see things right. Well, I want to share a few things. To be led by the Spirit, I have a few people in my life I think of, even Uncle Errol. I think of the first thing is you've got to be walking with the Lord. That normally means at the beginning of a day, tuned in to God. All right, that's how you've got to be. Having a time with Him, making sure you're right with Him, asking God to forgive you of your sins. And the next big thing is Matthew 6:33. What's that say? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Got to get the right priorities in place. And then we're in a good place to be led by God's Spirit. We can even pray for ourselves and for other people as well. Picking up on the prayer in Colossians chapter 4, we read there these words. Colossians chapter 4, 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. See that? So Paul's got that. Praying for opportunities. So that's how we get to be in tune with the Spirit, switched on for the day, and then we can see opportunities before us. That's what Philip was doing. Any Christian can do it. It's not just the pastor or the missionary or the chaplain. We can all be part of this. How exciting is that? The reality is, so often we're like, got a head in the sand. I don't know what it is. We are just missing the opportunities. And I've had a whole many times when I've had that, and I've had to challenge myself and reprimand myself and go, what is wrong with you? You know, missing opportunities. We're talking about a life and death story. It's really big. Eternity. And we need to make sure that we are tuned in to the opportunities that are before us. Okay, so let's keep reading. So verse 20, where are we up to? Verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Now I love that part, that verse, because when we might be hesitating, sometimes God just needs to give you a bit more of a push. You ever had that? I'm not sure what to do here. Don't know. Come on, just talk or whatever it is. So verse 29 is like God's Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." So that's what we find in verse 30. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and that's what happens. Wow. So the opportunity is there. All right. So you've got to listen to the Spirit. And so next thing I want to look at is the opportunity is there, but look at the opening that was created. Because you have an opportunity, but now look at the opening. So in verse 30, we begin to see it. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" All right. So to create an opening, there's an opportunity to make the opportunity become an opening. Rod mentioned this earlier. Good to ask questions. All right. Questions. That's something we can work on. Not the sort of questions like, "Do you believe in God?" You know, that might be okay, but that's like a yes, no. It's good to ask better questions like, "What do you believe in?" You know, get them to talk about what they believe in, what they hold to, what their worldview is. And it's good to think of questions that you can ask somebody. That's what Philip did. He asked a question, didn't he? What was the question? "Do you understand what you were reading?" Love the question. So he's there beside the chariot because the Holy Spirit told him to walk beside the chariot. He's hearing the book of Isaiah being read. He could have come up with lots of questions. He could have come up with statements. But he asked a really good question. "Do you understand what you are reading?" That's good, isn't it? So I don't know about you, but I've learnt, especially when I was an engineer talking to tough, secular, atheist engineers, I had to learn some questions to ask my engineering buddies that would be good questions, and then hopefully we'd have an opportunity and an opening to share the gospel. And I never forget a time when our engineers are tough people to talk to. I used to be an engineer, I remember. Because they know walls, they know everything. "Oh man, you don't know anything." I remember asking this question, and the opening occurred, and I began to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus with this engineer. Not only that, the question, and I can't remember it all now, but all I remember is suddenly the whole office, open planning office of engineers, were all listening in to the gospel. All from a question. All by listening. Oh, that's the other thing you've got to do. Ask a question, listen. In fact, that's the next big key. Led by the Spirit, listen to the soul of the person. Not just their word, but what's behind it. Listen. You've got to learn to listen. And as you listen, then you can go further. So back to Acts chapter 8, verse 30. Philip asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" 31. And he said, he's honest, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Oh, wow, look at that. So we have the question is given. An answer is given by the Ethiopian eunuch. He doesn't understand. He's open with that. And then Philip gets invited into the chariot. Pretty good, eh? All right. Now, what blows my mind away with this passage is God, how he's got it all worked out. Okay, I've got to get Philip down to the road. And the Ethiopian eunuch's got to be on that road as well. And they're going to meet. And then I've got to get the Ethiopian eunuch to be reading something that actually is about Jesus. So what's he reading? Oh, Isaiah 53! How good can it get? So Philip hears this man reading from Isaiah 53. Do you know Isaiah 53? It's a passage that's like got neon light flashing all over it. It's all about Jesus. And he's reading actually from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. And we got it here. Let me read verses 32 and 33. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." All right. So could you imagine Philip now, right? Oh, just going to jump in now. No, he doesn't jump in. You don't have to rush it, especially when God's got it under control. He allows the Ethiopian eunuch to speak. The Ethiopian eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Wow, look at the opening. So he's led by the Spirit. This is just a little thing getting it all. Led by the Spirit. What's the other one I said? Listening to the soul. Then you lean your conversations to the Saviour. Just lean straight in that direction. That's what Philip did. And he began to speak of Jesus to the man. Can you imagine it? Like he would have, I don't know, we don't have what he says exactly, but you can imagine him going, hey, hang on, let's go back to Isaiah 53 verse 1. And let me tell you that this is not about the prophet Isaiah. This is about the one that God promised to send into our world to save us. It's about the Messiah. It's about the Christ. Can you imagine it? So this is where, for us to seize the opportunity and to speak into the opening, there's three C words I want you to know about. And these three C words are the ones that I think of when I think of Peter. Peter, what do you mean Peter? Peter, when the church was born and the Holy Spirit came, Peter, the coward, Peter who denied Jesus, Peter who was in a locked room for fear of the Jews, Peter who did not have any understanding of the gospel, what it was really about, he thought Jesus had come to knock off the Romans, Peter gets up and preaches with the three C's, with conviction, with courage, and with clarity. And when you do that, you can take hold of that opening and you can share Jesus. And Peter had the joy of having 3,000 people come to know Jesus. Philip had the joy to have this Ethiopian eunuch come to know Jesus. And in God's great plan, you can imagine him going to Ethiopia and sharing the gospel down there. How about that, eh? In Africa. And God, that's it. But it all happened because look at Philip. He's being led by the Spirit. He's in that right place. He's listening to the soul by asking good questions and listening to the soul of the man. And then he lent the conversation towards not the weather, not towards a footy, but towards Jesus. And this man heard about Jesus. And I love Isaiah 53. Man, what a passage that is. And I just think of these words. Can you imagine Philip just reading out to this man even the whole passage? Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faith, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves considered him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And I'm reading this because you can imagine Philip saying, Ethiopian eunuch, we don't even know his name. This man, new man, this is about Jesus. He fulfilled this. This was the one that we rejected. This is the one that we thought was accursed of God. But this is who he is. He came so plainly into our world. And what about verses 5 and 6? I can imagine Philip saying, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that was for our peace fell upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine Philip? The man is reading from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. And you can just imagine Philip making that whole passage come alive to the man. And not only about this Jesus who died for us so that we could be saved and be made right with God, but as we share in these openings we have, we need to spell out what a person needs to do. We don't have to do anything, do we? No, Jesus did it all. Yes, there is. We have a part to play. We need to call people to repentance and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And the Ethiopian eunuch did. And he got baptised. Praise the Lord. I'm still working on all these things. Do you know that? I'm still a work in progress. Trying to walk with the Lord. Trying to see the opportunities. And then when the opening is there, to speak well. Sometimes I might speak too little. Sometimes too much. Learning to speak just the right amount for the situation. And it's so dynamic. It's so different for every person you meet. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to help you. And what a joy it is to share, whether a little or a lot, to share the gospel of Jesus. And this is what we're meant to be doing, and we're in the mission month, and that's what we've got to be praying for our missionaries, because they need to be keep on keeping on. So easy to be caught up with all our problems, with all the admin stuff, with all this, with all that, and we forget the most important thing is walking with the Spirit, looking for the opportunities, and speaking into those openings. Whether it be Robert and Shelley in Mexico, or Kaifer and Lily in India, all these different ones. And we need to do our little part here, where we are, whether we're chaplains or not. In your workplaces, wherever you are, say, that's our mission. It's meant to be exciting. Somehow we feel it's daunting. I don't know. Come on, it's meant to be something fantastic. And in our country, you won't get killed. That's good. It's all good. And people respect you if you are sincere and honest as you share. So I just thought I'd share that with you. I love that story of Acts 8. There you go. You learn a few things? I learn a few things. So may God help us in our living for Christ. And I really pray that sincerely. We're living in pretty challenging days. And all I know in my life is we've got to rev up the troops. We've got to rev each other up. And the dark side is really full on. They seem to have a platform to speak wherever and in the media, and we cannot afford to be silent. There are opportunities galore, but so often we are missing them. And we need to understand all these opportunities we have, and we also need to be able to speak into those opportunities, into those openings, and to share well. Share with conviction, share with courage, and share with clarity who our Lord Jesus is and our great need for him. Amen. Well, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for, I know in my life, thank you for helping me from being, you know, I have to remember, Lord, there was a time when I was a Christian, but I found it really difficult to share your son Jesus, especially with engineering students and engineers, because they sure didn't like hearing anything about you. But Father, they are just as broken as anybody else, and thank you for helping me to look and to see opportunities, to create opportunities, and to be able to share into those opportunities your son Jesus. And I pray that you'd help us all to lean on you, to help to look to you, Lord, that we would have you helping us in our life in being witnesses for your son. Lord, I pray for all of us here that you would give us even tomorrow opportunities to share your son. Help us to be switched on. Help us to be walking in the Spirit where we might know the leading of your Spirit in our life. And Arthur, you'd help us also in knowing good questions to ask people, so that we can swing conversations to the things of you, and that you would help us to be good listeners of people around us, and that you would help us, Lord, when it's right there before us, that we would have the courage and the conviction and the clarity to speak into people's hearts about this message of life and hope, the message of Jesus. And Lord, we also pray that we would have the joy to see people come to know your Son. Give us a real heart, a real love for people being saved, that we might realize that this is like the most important thing that we could ever be involved in, even though you do it all. Lord, thank you that we can be a part of your work. And thank you, Lord, that you know, life isn't just a whole thing of random events. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you are doing things, Lord, all the time and making things happen. There's no coincidences, and I just pray that you would help us to be switched on to your great work in this world and in our lives and in the lives of other people, so that we can have these great conversations. Again, Lord, I just thank you for Rod and Sean. Thank you for their sharing tonight. It's been really great to hear them share, and ask that you'd help us to keep them in prayer, that they would really be blessed in their ministries and be used of you to point other people to your son, Jesus. And thank you for tonight. Thank you for how we could come out tonight. And thank you for the singing of these great songs we've had, and also for remembering Jesus during communion time. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.